goes to their local church. Before the service starts, the townspeople sit in their pews and talk about their lives and their families. Suddenly, at the altar, Satan appears. Everyone starts screaming and running for the front entrance, trampling each other in their determined efforts to get away from evil incarnate. Soon, everyone is evacuated from the church except for one man who sits calmly in his pew, seemingly oblivious to the fact that God's ultimate enemy is in his presence. This confuses Satan a bit. Satan walks up to the man and says, "Hey, don't you know who I am?" The man says, "Yep, sure do." Satan says, "Well, aren't you afraid of me?" The man says, "Nope, sure ain't." Satan, perturbed, says, "Why aren't you afraid of me?" The man says, "Well, I've been married to your sister for 25 years. Title of the message tonight, Brother John, how is he ever going to feed us all? Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. How is he ever going to feed us all? I love looking at the... Am I plugged in? Because I'll get Jim well if I'm not plugged in. I love looking at Matthew and learning about the feeding of the 5,000 plus that Jesus did. It's amazing to me that he was able to do those things. And, you know, I got thinking, and I've preached a lot about this, and I've taught quite a few lessons about this and about the miracles of Jesus Christ and how he did those things because he wanted to show the people who he was so they would have more faith in him. So they would be able to look to him and say, this must be the Creator. What's amazing to me on the flip side of that is not everybody stayed with them after they saw that wonderful miracle. I've always been dazzled, and I can't even imagine not staying with somebody that was able to do the things that Jesus did. And the saddest thing of that, of all of that, is not everybody that met Jesus believed in him. Not everybody that met him believed in him. And I'm talking met him person to person, saw him face to face. Saw the wondrous things that Jesus did. Not everybody believed in him. And the question comes to me when I think about these passages is how did the people feel? And I think about these things because I am a person that tends to want to look at the whole story. I want to act and believe and think that I was there. I want to try to feel what it would be like to be in this place, in this desert place where these people were, these just droves and droves of people that were following Christ. And I'm thankful that they followed Christ, and I'm thankful that they followed him to that place. And it's exciting to me to know that Jesus cared enough to preach that at that time, and he cared enough to, when the people followed him, to not turn them away. He cared enough to feed them. He cared enough to be their Savior, and he knew that not all of them would believe, yet he still cared enough to include them. And I always wondered, what was it like to be one of the people? I'm not talking about the disciples. I'm talking about the people. What was it like just to be one of the people that was there? What was it like to be a person that was hungry? What was it like to be a person that was part of the great 5,000 that were there? What was it like to be them? And then I want to ask myself the question. I've heard this lots of times. It's always amazing that I hear these things. But it's amazing to me how I've heard people say, I come to church and I just don't seem to get fed anymore. I come to church and I just don't seem to get fed anymore. I'm going to be honest with you. It's hard for me to understand how a person can go where the Bible's opened and the word is preached and say that they don't get fed anymore. It's hard for me. And when I started thinking about getting fed, the first thing I thought of was going to Matthew. The first thing I thought of was learning about this passage. There are five things that I've seen in this passage. I want to read it to you, and I want to see if you can pick them out with me. If we all stand reading Matthew chapter 14, starting in verse 15. The Bible says, "And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, 'This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals.'" That's West Virginia for victuals. "But Jesus said unto them, 'They need not depart, give ye them to eat.' And they say unto him, 'We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, 'Bring them hither to me.' And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full." Brother Bob Shell, could you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Brother Dave, I'm just not getting fed anymore. I just don't understand how we walk into the church house and we come here, and because of things that are happening or things that are going on, we just don't seem to be getting fed anymore. And there may be a time in your life as a Christian where you don't feel as though you're getting close enough to God, or you don't feel as though you're getting all you need from church, or you don't feel that you're getting what you are required to have for sustenance as a Christian. There may be times in your life that you feel like that, but can I help you? Be one of those people that stood among the 5,000. Be one of those people that just stood there. Really, they had certain things about them that made it important to why they, at this last verse said, "And they ate and they were filled." Can I point out a few things to you? How in the world is he going to feed us all? I got to believe that standing in the group, when they heard whispered, "How in the world are we going to eat?" And the Lord says, "They don't need to go away. I'll feed them right here. Give them something to eat." I'm sure they said the statement, "How in the world is he going to feed us all? How is he going to take care of us all?" If you think about that in the Christian realm, if you think about that as the church, you would say, how in the world is the pastor going to deal with somebody like you on this side of the room, or somebody like you on this side of the room? How in the world is it that a pastor can bring a message that the Lord gives him? How in the world can he bring a message that's good enough for Andrew Grace, yet still good enough for Ruth Hill? How is it that a pastor can preach a message that's good enough for the youngest of the crowd and also good enough for the oldest of the crowd? How is it possible? I can help you. I can help you tonight if you'll just listen, understanding that just as much of the responsibility of being fed is on you that it is on the one feeding you. Just as much of the responsibility lies with you as it does with the preacher. Just as much. Let me show you. If you look at Matthew chapter 14, I just, common sense observations. Number one, a few things had to happen for Christ to feed this many people. A few things had to happen. And a few things have to happen for the preacher to be able to feed this many people. Amen? Here's number one. Number one, for Christ to feed 5,000, there had to be 5,000 there. Now, Brother Dave, that's just stupid. Great, I fit right in. Can I ask you a question? How in the world do you know what happened at church if you're not here? How in the world can you say to somebody, "Well, glory to God, I'm not getting fed here anymore," when you're never here at the table? I'm not surprised you're not getting fed. You're not coming to dinner. If you're not part of the 5,000, guess what's going to happen for you? Nothing. It's not surprising to me then that people walk around saying, "I'm not being fed, I'm not being fed, I'm not being fed." Well, that's because you're not coming to dinner, you're not coming to dinner, you're not coming to dinner. See, what happens is this. We get complacent in our lives. We get to a point in our lives where, and mature Christians are just as guilty as young ones. We get to a point in our lives where we feel that we know more than the people that show up here. That is the very time, my friend, that is the very time when you know the least. That is the very time when you know the least. Hey, listen, I've been in the ministry for a few years now. I've seen lots of people that believe they know more than the pastor. Lots of them. And what's amazing is, and by the way, that doesn't just happen in 1 or 2 minutes. That happens in every ministry that's out there. Where somebody in the 5,000 comes and says, there's no way you've got enough food for all of us. There's just no way. There's no way that you have the ability to give us all something to eat. There's no way, preacher. There's no way that you can bring a message that's good enough for this little girl right here and also good enough for Carl McDaniel. There's no way you can bring that message. There's no way that you have enough food, Brother Mark. There's no way that you have enough to bring all these people. Well, you'll never know if you're not coming. If there was 4,999 men there, then only 4,999 men would have been fed that day. This is what happens, and let me help you out here. The people that come get fed if they're here, or have the opportunity to be fed if they're here. If you're not among the 5,000, you're not going to eat. If you are among the 5,000, you have an opportunity to eat. That was number one. You have to be present to be eating. Number two, you got to be hungry. Not only do you have to be there, you've got to be hungry. You've got to desire something to eat. I'm going to tell you, you should come sometime if you get the chance. You should come to lunch at school. You should come for the heat up time. You should come and watch all the kids sit at the countertop like this. Mr. Ballot, is my food done yet? We've been doing it this way for over 100 days now. If your food's not at the end of the counter, little Johnny, then your food's not warmed up. Well, I don't see it. Then is it warmed up? I don't know. At lunchtime, the kids are hungry. They're starving. So what do? They eat. They desire to eat. On Fridays is pizza day. The kids are out of their mind on pizza day. We pick up the pizza. Mrs. Arlene usually picks up the pizza 11:30. Lunch is at noonish. The kids, from 11:20 to 11:45. The whole time with plates in their hands. Because if they go around the room enough, pizza will appear on their plate. But can I ask you a question? There are a few kids that did not feel like eating because they weren't hungry. So they did not eat. See, what you've got to understand is, don't come to church not expecting to be hungry. Don't come to church with a full belly. Come to church empty. Come to church desiring something. Come to church where you know you need something. Come to church looking for a blessing. Come to church looking to meet with God. Come to church looking to go to the altar. Come to church looking for something that you can get from the Almighty Savior. What's amazing is we come to church and we sit down and just go. And that's the way you look from up here. And usually about that time, preacher looks out at the audience and says, I'm either laying an egg or I'm really getting you to think. We're not sure what that look is. See, that can be a look of constipation just as much as anticipation. Matthew. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. The Bible says, "Blessed are they which do hunger. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." When you come to church, be hungry for something. Here's the funny thing. I hear all the time that I'm not being fed. Well, glory to God, come to church looking to eat. Don't have something to eat before you get to church. Well, I listened to 17 preaching tapes on the way over. And not one of those preachers cares about you like your shepherd does. Man, that's good preaching. See, what's amazing is this. We look at men and we say, glory to God, because they're such great preachers, because they've got such great things to offer, they must be better. They must be great. That is where I must eat. That's the pasture I must be in. Well, glory to God, if that's the pasture you want, then go roaming, brother, because we don't need you here. Where did that come from? The problem is not always the pastor. The problem is not always the missionary or the associate pastor or the preacher that stands here. Sometimes you're it. Sometimes the people that come to the feast with filled bellies are the problem. That's why they're not eating. That's why they're not being fed. Because they're full already. And by the way, it's not necessarily full of the right food. It's not necessarily being filled with, and I've got nothing against preaching tapes. I've got nothing against listening to good, solid gospel music. I've got nothing wrong with that. But this is what I do have something wrong with. I have something wrong with it when you replace what you're doing here with that. Listen to me. I've listened to over 1,000 Jack Hiles messages on tape. I've listened to more than 1,000 from my pastor. Why? Because he's my preacher. He's my preacher. See, people followed Christ because he could feed them. I'm not going to sit there and tell people, look, if you're not being fed, go somewhere else. No, if you're not being fed, come hungry. Number one, there had to be people there. Number two, there had to be hungry people. Number three, there had to be a willing servant to bring food. There had to be somebody willing to come and bring food. There had to be somebody willing, now that we've got hungry people, there had to be somebody willing to come and preach. There had to be somebody willing to take what God has given him. That's all he had was the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. That's all he had, but when he had it, boy, that's what he had. And when he had it, he brought everything he had. And by the way, I know that there was young, I know that there was old, I know that there was women, I know that there was men, I know that there was children, and every one of them ate till they were filled that day. Now listen to me. How in the world can the preacher bring a message? I got news for you. The preacher can't. He can't. But God can. God can. But there's got to be things that go along with it. You got to be here. You got to be hungry. And you got to let somebody bring the message to you. Who else was offering food that day? Out of 5,000 people, only one person thought to bring a sack lunch? Did you ever think about that? Did it ever cross your mind that the only one that brought a lunch was a kid? And I've heard that he brought stuff to sell and all this other stuff. Listen, if he's going to bring something to sell, he would bring a backpack with 35 loaves and 65 fishes in the bag. He's not going to bring just a little sack lunch. That was a sack lunch. I don't think these loaves of bread were this. I think these are little cakes. I think God took something as absolutely miraculous here. But he was the only one, Brother Josh. He was the only one either thought to bring food or offered his food. That leads me to think that that's all we've got. That's all we've got. Why should we pray for our preacher? Please hear me. Why should we pray for our preacher? Because he's what we've got. I can't be any more serious than that. Listen to me. You got to ask yourself a question. Did God bring you here?
Oh, you gotta grab a hold of this now. Did God bring you here? Are you part of the 5,000? Are you part of the group? Did God bring you here? Well, then bless God, you ought to be praying for the only one that God has required to bring you food. Listen to me. There's only one. There's only one pastor here, and that's Pastor Skyver. And he is the one that brings us our food. Amen? Now listen. If it was up to me, that little boy would not have had 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. That boy would have had 5 loaves towing a cow behind him. Because I'll be honest with you, I'd rather have the Lord cook up some beef than give me fish. Now, hold on. Wait a minute. You need to hear this now. This is funny, but I'm not trying to be funny. I would bet that out of the 5,000 people, not everybody liked fish. But everybody needed fish. Everybody ate fish. And they ate the fish until they were filled. My luck, the little boy would have brought meatloaf. We're going to break this up until we're all filled. And yeah, I'm done, thanks. Just give me the bread. Whenever you're in doubt, eat the bread. Amen. I mean, that's what I've learned throughout the years. Whenever you're in doubt, whenever you don't like the food, just keep eating the bread. There had to be a willing servant to bring food, and they didn't have the choice on what food that they could eat. They had to eat the food that God provided for them. They had to eat what God had provided. It said they were hungry. It didn't say that they were starving and malnutrition. They could go to a town. It said that they could go to a town and get victuals. If they wanted to eat, they could have left that time. But they stayed and gave what God, they took what God had afforded them. And they ate till they were filled. Hey, listen, when you come to church, like this morning we preached on sin. And listen to me. You listen to me. You look at me and you listen to me. That may not have been what you wanted to hear. You may not have walked out of here with your ears tickled. You may have walked out of here hoping and praying that I came out. You may have walked out of here upset. But understand this. That's the food that God was offering that day. Whether you ate or not was up to you. And I'm going to be honest with you today. You had a full 7-course meal preached in this pulpit today. And it wasn't because of me. I don't care about me. But God offered you something today. God offered you something. Did you come hungry? Did you show up? Did you eat what he ate, what he gave you? Did you eat what he offered? Because I'm going to be honest with you. If you're not here and you're not hungry and you don't have a willingness to eat what God gives you, you're going to walk away starved. You're going to walk away starved. Number 4. Not only did they have to accept what was given them, they had to open their mouth and eat. They had to open wide their mouth. There had to be people with open mouths. Look at Psalm 81:10. Psalm 81:10. I see people in church all the time, and I get the chance to sit up here, and this is one of the worst places in the world to sit. You may want to sit here someday. You really don't want to sit here. I'll tell you why. You see things that happen out in the congregation. It makes you want to laugh. A lot of times it makes you want to laugh, and you can't laugh because he's probably saying something serious at that moment, right? But you sit there, and you want to laugh. I look out at people, and the preacher will say something worth amening, and he's like, I don't know how you can amen without opening your mouth. I am just not going to open my mouth. The Bible says in Psalm 81:10, look at what the Bible says in Psalm 81:10. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Those 5,000 stood there that day and when the Lord started breaking the fish and breaking the bread and handing it out, I promise you that they didn't keep their mouth shut. I promise you when the food came around, they opened their mouth wide and the Lord filled it. When you come to church, come expecting a blessing. Come expecting to get food. Come expecting with your mouth wide open, Lord, please fill my mouth with what you'd have me to get. But instead, we come to church so we can have everybody see us. No amens there. This is not a social club. This is a place that you ought to pray that God meets with you. Do you think these messages come by accident? Seriously, they don't come by accident. God gives the preacher the messages that he gets. It doesn't matter what preacher standing behind you, Brother Mark, me, Dad, Rod Black, it doesn't matter. But you know what's amazing to me? Is that even though the messages are coming straight from God, people still come with their mouth shut. I'm not talking about saying amen. I'm talking about unwillingness to eat. Unwillingness to eat. I don't care if you like fish and bread or not. Now you're unwilling to eat. You see what's there. You're not willing to take what's there. You don't come with your mouth open. You don't come ready to receive a blessing. Do you know church is active? Well, one thing I love about this church, I've had lots of people come here, and those people have told me this church is just so alive. It's so exciting. When did a Baptist church ever die? When did a Baptist church ever grow cold? When its people stopped eating? When his people stop coming expecting blessings from God, when the people stop coming, listen, half the excitement in the church is the preacher. The other half of the excitement in the church is us. Amen. Glory to God. Do you think the people were excited when the Lord started passing out the food? Do you think the people were excited when he's got out this basket and he's passing out and the people keep watching? What does he do? This is like the seventh row of people. He's still passing food out. Do you think the people didn't all of a sudden start growing in anticipation, seeing what they were seeing? Do you think the people didn't start saying, oh, my lambs, they're so excited, they're getting ready to move out to Infirmary Road. But we'll sit here with our mouths shut, we ain't never moving to Infirmary Road. Because I'm telling you right now, I'm coming here, but I ain't getting blessed. I don't care what you do. I don't care how good the message is, I'm walking out of here just the same as I came in. You're not going to move me. You're not going to get me excited about the things of God. You're not going to get me excited at all. Let me explain something to you. That's not God not getting you excited. That's you not getting you excited. And I'm not talking about making this an emotional thing. I'm not talking about making this a sensual thing where you come to church, glory to God, start wagging your tongue. I'm talking about, do you come to receive a blessing from God? Do you come here seeking out what God has for you? Or do you come here just because it's my seat in the church and I just don't know if I'm going to live without warming it? And I don't think the preacher's going to live unless I warm my seat either. Hey, listen, I've watched people. You think that's funny? I've watched people. I can close my eyes and tell you where you are. You say, how's that possible? Because you never move. And I would say, well, that's dumb. I don't move either. I thought about that myself after I made fun. I sit right there. Every time in three rows, whoever takes up what seat, Brother Jack's usually right behind me, and whatever seat he takes, I usually sit in front of him. My brother-in-law and sister-in-law are right behind me, making fun of Dad the whole time. I sit right there. Listen, this church is not a spectator sport.
That's right.
It's not. Don't sit on the outside and watch. Get in the game. Come here with your mouth wide open saying, Lord, bless me. Fill my mouth. I don't like the food. That's all right. Open your mouth. When I was growing up, you didn't have the choice of what to eat. Amen. Let me explain something to you. I hate meatloaf because it was more than one time stuffed down my face. Okay? That's not why I don't like meatloaf. It just tastes terrible. I don't care whose it is. You can say, well, you never tasted mine. I never will because I've never had one that was good. And I don't want to hurt your feelings. So let's get that all out in the open right now. I have 7 meatloafs coming my way. Brother Dave, you got to try this. I'm not part of the 5,000. I'm not looking for a blessing. I'm not looking for throwing up later. I just no meatloaf for me. But when they came, the people came understanding that, hey, listen, we're following Christ here. The things that we're, listen, how do you think he drew such a big crowd? He drew such a big crowd because he was doing amazing things. Well, here's the funny thing. Why in the world doesn't Christ do anything amazing anymore? Let me help you out with that. It's just as much your fault as it is God's fault. Because you don't believe that he will or believe that he can anymore, so he doesn't. Well, prove that to me, brother, in Scripture. Amen. I'm not going to go to it, but understand this. There was a place that he went and he didn't do many mighty miracles there because of their unbelief. Amen, brother. So when you come to church not believing that you're going to get anything from God, guess what you're going to get? Nothing from God. That's so simple. The 5,000 showed up. The 5,000 followed Christ. The 5,000 came hungry. The 5,000 opened their mouth. And what happened? He filled it. How in the world is he going to fill all those people? How in the world is he going to feed all these people? How in the world does your pastor feed you? And when you find out how he feeds you, you'll understand why you're not being fed. To me, that's as simple as it can be. Why are you not being fed? Maybe you ought to open up your mouth. Or close your mouth in some cases. Maybe you ought to think, Lord, I'm coming here today because I'm looking for something from you. I need you to bless me today. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever prayed this prayer? Ever? Ever? Please don't raise your hand. I'm afraid nobody's hand would go up. How many of you have ever prayed, Lord, bless my preacher today that he may say something that feeds me personally. Lord, please give my preacher the words to say that will affect my life today. Because I can't leave church without something from you. I beg you not to raise your hands, but I want you to think with me, when's the last time you prayed for the church service? When's the last time you prayed? Let me tell you, they were walking around, 5,000 plus people walking around in this place, and I guarantee you at one point or another they were saying, man, I am hungry. That man, I've watched him do fantastic miracles. I've seen him do things I can't explain. Boy, I hope he does something for my life today. I've seen him do things. I've seen Christ, this man that they talk about. I'm not sure of everything about him, but I do know this. I've watched him do things. I've seen him do things that I can't explain, and I've seen him take care of a lot of people. I've seen him heal the blind. I've seen him heal the lame. I've seen him do all these things. I wonder if he's got something in mind for dinner tonight. Lord, please, I know I'm nobody, but Lord, please, give the preacher something to say that will affect my heart tonight, because I promise you, your preacher prays, Lord, please, give me something to say that will affect every heart that comes tonight. Your pastor prays, Lord, please, give me something. Understand this, when preachers get up here to preach, and if you're a preacher that's worth anything, if you're a preacher that's got any salt in him whatsoever, you pray, Lord, please, let me be a blessing to the people. Lord, get me out of the way and put you in my place, because I'm not worth anything, but Lord, you're worth everything. I guarantee you, preachers pray. I promise you that they desire you to get blessed from what they say. The question is, does the other 50% work the other way? Do you pray for the preacher to say something that would affect you? Because I promise you, God fills open mouths. How in the world is he going to feed us all? How is he going to feed us all? You've got to be there with an open mouth. One last thing. You come to church looking for a blessing. You come to church ready to receive what God has provided. You come to church with an open mouth. You come to church praying for the preacher to give you something. You literally do all those things. There's only one thing left. God is required to provide. He's required to provide to fill you. Now what happens is this. What happens in your life is you eat from other sources. You feed from, and I'm not talking necessarily godly sources, but your innards become satisfied with other places and other things and other jobs that you do, or your work becomes satisfying to you, or your life becomes satisfying to you, or things other than God become satisfying to you. The things that are out there, you start to think, well, this is okay for me, and I don't need to eat from God's table anymore. I can just eat from the table that I'm currently sitting at. Understand this, why you're not getting fed is you already come filled with something else. And when you come filled with something else, you're not going to eat. But if you came hungry and empty and ready with an open mouth, God is required. He promised us He would provide food for us. He would provide things for us that maybe you're not getting right now. The question you have to ask yourself is, why in the world am I not getting them? You're not getting them because you don't show up. You're not getting fed because you don't show up. Miss Rosie cooks a wonderful meal every Sunday. We're all trying to forget, I know. She cooks a wonderful meal on Sunday. What good is that meal going to do if I don't show up? Nothing. I'm not going to eat it. Not going to get to eat it. If I don't show up, that's what she cooks. Meatloaf, honestly, she does. Every time I'm out of town or whatever, she cooks meatloaf. Bless her heart. If I come to the table and I've already eaten a bunch of junk before I get there, I'm not going to eat. If I come to the table hungry but I don't eat what's provided, I'm not going to eat. If I come to the table hungry and I want to eat what's provided but I don't open my mouth, what happens? I don't eat. You have to ask yourself, what part of those things, maybe all of them at one time, what part of those things have you done with yourself inside of yourself that you come to church and you don't get fed? It's got to be some of those things. It cannot be anything else. From what I understand, if I read the scriptures correctly, there's certain things that a person that sits in church has got to do. There's certain things that they have to come to grips with when they come to church. Glory to God, I wonder if we are not doing what we have to do, sitting in the pews for our pastor. Because let me tell you something, when I'm preaching up here, I hear amen, I get excited. When I come up here and I hear this, I'm not too excited. And I'm not content with egg laying and whatever the other thing is. I want people to get excited about our Savior. I want people to get excited about what's being done here. Well, it's been a long time, Brother Dave. Certainly we're never going to get this done. We were never going to get it done in the first place. It's always going to be God. God fed them when He wanted to. What, this, I'm all done here. The Christian life is not easy. It's not. And the devil desires with all of his heart for you not to come to get blessed at church. He desires to mess you up in any one of these five things. He desires that. Christian, you've got to fight through, and when you come to church, you've got to be ready to be blessed. You've got to be ready to receive what God has for you today, no matter what it is, whether you like it or not. You've got to have your mouth wide open, because I'm going to be honest with you, I would rather eat whatever God has to provide for me than eat anything that the world has to provide for me. How in the world is He going to feed us all? The answer to that question is simple. I don't know, but I'm going to be there when He does. I don't know, but when He does, I'm going to be hungry. I don't know, but when He does, I'm going to open my mouth so He may fill it. I don't know, but whatever it is, I'm sure He's going to provide. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank You so much for blessing this church. I thank You so much for feeding the 5,000, but I'm more excited about You feeding us still today. Your Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Lord, I pray that we're an every word seeking people. I pray that we desire to hear great things and wondrous things. I pray that we get excited when we come to church. I pray, Lord, that when we come to church looking for our cup to get filled, that we turn our cup over so it may be filled. Lord, I pray that when we come to church, we become participants, not spectators. Lord, I pray, Lord, that You fill our church house in so much that You've got to move us. Lord, I pray for that building. I want that building real, real bad, but Lord, I don't want it before Your time. So Lord, please, take Your time. Whatever time You decide, Lord, that's the time we'll be excited with. Lord, be with my pastor. Lord, be with your under shepherd. Lord, please help him. Lord, help him that this is a wake-up call to his health in general. Help him to decide in his life that he's got 50 more years to give us. Help him decide, Lord, that he's going to preach with fire from here on out. He's going to decide that he's not going to let this health be a problem, Lord, that he's going to lose weight and he's going to tackle this problem of diabetes. Lord, I pray that you give him strength. I pray that you give my mother-in-law strength. Be with her, Lord, so she can do everything that she's got to do. Lord, please help us. Help us as a family and help us as a church family. Help us to hold up the arms of our pastor in a time when he needs us. I would dare to say that every person in this room at one time or another has been helped by my pastor. Lord, please let them return the favor today. Let them pray for him. Let them pray for their pastor that they love, the one that brings them the food that they need to eat. And Lord, I pray that he can come back quickly, because I believe we've got some hungry people here at Bethel that can't wait to step up to the table. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. If there's no visitors, I believe everybody in this room is a saved person. How many could say, Brother Dave, you know, I've been to church sometimes where I've come already filled, and I've been to church sometimes where I don't open my mouth. I've been to church sometimes and I'm not ready to be hungry and I'm not being blessed. I've been to church sometimes where I felt like I didn't get fed, and I'm beginning to wonder if that's not on me. Put your hands up real big and tall. All over the room, you may put them down. Christian, come hungry. Christian, come prayed up. Christian, come looking for a blessing. Christian, come with your mouths open wide that the Lord could fill them. Don't come to church expecting to be disappointed. Come to church expecting to be blessed. And the Lord is required to provide you with a blessing if you ask him for it. Dear Lord, again I pray. I thank you so much for the opportunity to preach. Lord, I don't understand why you've called me, but I sure am thankful that you have. Lord, be with us all. Let us all desire to be more of a part of Bethel and get more involved and get more excited about you. And Lord, please be with us today in everything that we do. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Come quickly to do right. Invitation is open.